are related to very small things, and the longest time intervals are related to very large things. The shortest measures of time that we use are related to vibrations within atoms. They're measured in trillionths of a second. Astronomical cycles provide the longest time intervals. The Milky Way galaxy takes about 220 million Earth years to rotate once on its axis. Some people call this one galactic year. The universe itself is thought to have been born in a titanic explosion, perhaps 15 billion years ago. Since then, it's been expanding, but it could someday halt and begin to collapse. If it does, the cycle of universal expansion and collapse may represent the ultimate calendar. For August 13th, that's Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Occasionally what happens here at the radio station is people play with things they're not supposed to play with, and in this case someone took the introduction to the program and wound it to a point where there's nothing but silence. So in order to dramatize the situation a little further,
yes,
we'll simply let the silence continue until the thing is ready. And then maybe the people responsible will repent and understand the gravity of what they have done.
Doubt it.
Oh, dear. You know, I just realized something. You're coming up on the channel that the tape is supposed to be coming up on.
And that's why it's not playing.
So this is actually my fault. No one did anything, and I feel like a real jerk now. Well, you know what? I guess we just won't have a theme today.
Oh, come on.
Well, it's going to start in the middle, and
so?
I was only going to play the beginning anyway.
Well, we'll just play the end.
The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
See, that's no good.
Please repeat.
Can't start with that.
Oh,
I'm
sure you can.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Why? Never gonna leave that toy, I know. God, it's too hot.
Nobody.
too damn hot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the specials here, preempting our usual theme, which... I didn't want to hear it anyway, so I prefer to hear something like that. And, I was looking at the weather forecast today, and they say it's never going to end. It's just going to keep going on and on forever.
Till December?
There was a forecast in New York Newsday today, which I was reading, and they just had the same phraseology for the next 5 days. Hazy, hot, and humid, chance of thunderstorms 5 times in a row, all the way down the page. It was really a horrible thing to see.
Yes, but you'll be longing for it in February.
No, I won't. I won't. I'll be perfectly happy in February to be cold when I go outside and warm when I'm inside and, you know, not hot and miserable all the time.
Yeah, when you have to go down and chop a few trees down to throw in your wood stove.
Well, that's one of the things you have to live with. I prefer cold than hot. I mean, hot, you just feel sluggish. You don't do anything. You just mope around and
that's
complain.
True, because when it's hot, when it's cold, you can always bundle up.
Uh-huh.
And you can't really bundle up when it's hot. Well, you can, but...
It's pretty stupid. I saw somebody wearing a jacket today. In the middle of New York City, somebody wearing a jacket.
And tie?
No, like a windbreaker jacket.
Well, I'm sure that was a fashion statement involved.
I'm sure it was a mental statement involved. This person must have been completely crazy to do that. Everyone was miserable. I mean, nobody was violent or anything like that, but you could tell that the strain was there. It's what's tough is, you know, you don't know how to relieve. Well, I guess a little music helps, but you don't know how to refresh yourself so that, you know, you can stop refreshing yourself. Like in this kind of weather, I just want to drink things, and I keep drinking things, and then I get filled up with all this, you know, liquid, and I feel sick, and it doesn't.
You know what I started drinking this summer?
What's that?
Gatorade.
That's I drink that stuff too. There's nothing in it, but
sure there is. There's potassium in it.
Well, what does that do for
you? And salt, and sugars, and artificial color, and sometimes natural flavors.
Yeah, but I like the way they say on their label contains no fruit juice, as if they're proud of that fact.
Yeah, they're very emphatic about it.
Why is that?
Maybe they are proud of it.
Well, why would anybody be proud not to have fruit juice?
I don't know. You'll have to call them up and ask them.
Well, I don't think I need to do that, but
it's good though because it. Well, I don't want to sound like an endorsement here, so I won't say anything else.
Okay. What do you do to... maybe I should introduce you.
Nah.
Well, I should introduce myself anyway.
Nah.
The program, in any event. The program is Brain Damage. We're a bit sluggish tonight. That's because it's so hot in here. Well, actually, you're in the cool studio. We have one studio here that the air conditioning works.
Well, you know, there's nothing stopping you from coming in here yourself. We can set up another microphone.
Set up another microphone, but... I don't know. I feel more comfortable here in the master control room.
Ah.
And you're in the slave control room.
That's right. I have absolutely no control.
I could fade you down like this, you know, and you can just scream and holler all you want and it wouldn't make any difference.
Yes.
But I won't do that.
And I can make my music go higher until you turn it down.
Well, I didn't turn it down.
I know. I did that time.
I faded you out, though. I can make myself fade out. I'm Eric Corley, and that's Mike Juhas over there in the other studio.
Thank you.
In here from Philadelphia. You came from Philadelphia.
That's right. I'll turn it down a little.
What's the temperature like in Philadelphia these days?
I think we've had, the Philadelphia Inquirer had a story in yesterday's paper that said that it has broken 90 degrees for 14 consecutive days so far in August.
Well, we've had...
Which is interesting to consider because as of that date, it was only the 11th of August.
Well, yeah, but we have 40 straight days of temperatures 88 or above, including the high of 88 reached on August 8th, 1988, which I really don't want to talk about, but that happened.
We're not going to get into numerology and things?
No, I prefer not to.
No.
I don't, I'd like to open it up to the listeners. If they want to call in and talk about something, complain bitterly about heat or complain about us complaining, give us a call, 632.
Hey, but wait a minute, we never complained.
632-6901. Yes, we did complain. I started the show by complaining. By complaining about the theme not being here when in fact it was, because
I'm so messed up from
the heat that I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Well. Oh, well.
And all you want to do is sit around and complain, you know?
I'm not complaining that you're complaining.
Sounds like you are.
I guess it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyhow, we're listening to Santiago Jimenez Jr. underneath us.
And now, among us.
Yes.
Perhaps you'd like to explain how you got this fine music that we're hearing in the background there.
Well, it's actually coming off of a cassette that I bought at a Santiago Jimenez Jr. concert. He actually came to Philadelphia. He's out of San Antonio, Texas, and he is son of the legendary Santiago Jimenez Sr.
What?
I kid you not. It was good.
I
it was good
accuse
stuff.
You of kidding. He's a busy man, isn't he?
I guess. I guess this is the appropriate time to butt in. I didn't think we were going to be playing, you know, his music except underneath us.
I was hoping we wouldn't.
But why are we, though?
Well, maybe because we ran out of things to say, but that shouldn't be the case because I've got all kinds of things in front of me here.
The week in review.
Week in review. And
and how was your week?
My week was exciting. I did lots of fun things. So, you know.
Name a few.
Sweated a lot and sort of watched other people sweat and that kind of thing.
I was stuck in a traffic jam outside of Baltimore.
Well, you can't get more exciting than that, can you?
No, especially since there was a fuel spill involved.
Uh-huh. Were you the one spilling fuel?
No. It looked like it was a military type of convoy vehicle. It was a camouflaged fuel truck that was apparently leaking.
Camouflaged fuel truck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah.
You always seem to come across these things.
Well, yeah. What can I say? I mean, you know, about the only thing else that's interesting. Let's see, I guess we did go to the movies this week. We saw A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, we did we?
Yes, we did.
Well, that's good.
It was very good.
Well, that's fine. I hope the theater was air-conditioned. I saw a strange film last night in a semi-air-conditioned theater. Mondo, New York.
Mondo, New York you saw?
Did you see that?
No, but what's it about?
Oh, it's about weird people in New York, and I mean weird people. The most strange... there's nothing I can really relate on the air because most of it's obscene or would be by FCC standards.
Is that in any way related to, I think something was showing down in Philadelphia called Mondo Biondo?
No, I don't think, well, it might be. I don't know anything about it. But I'll say one thing. There are some good musical pieces in there, including one particular piece by a guy whose name I can't mention and a song I can't mention because that's the content of it. But I thought it was really good. I can't do that. It's illegal. But
well, write it down on a slip of paper and hold it up in the window so I can tell.
I'll tell you after the show.
Oh, all right.
So that's the film I saw this week, and it was okay. Nothing all that thrilling, though.
I would recommend that you, especially if you're a fan of John Cleese and or Jamie Lee Curtis or Kevin Klein or Michael Palin, to see A Fish Called Wanda.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. A lot of people have been saying I should see that film.
And add me to that list.
Speaking of fans, we have plenty of them going here. I don't think fans do any good, though, you know? They make a lot of noise, and they make your hair blow, but that's about it.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't aim that one to your little news clips there. They'd be flying all over the studio.
Oh, you know...
We could actually do that after we're done reading
the
clips.
We can make all kinds of things fly around the studio. Don't have any problem with that. If you want to... I'm talking to our listeners now. If you want to call us, speak to Mike Juhas, who isn't here very often, you know, and who used to be here back a few years ago doing The Voice of Long Island, give us a call at 632-6901.
Remember those days?
You want to tell us what days? Oh, those days.
Yeah, when I was here back then on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been to this radio station since, I think, last year.
You were on this show twice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you
right.
had
yeah,
to have been
yeah,
here.
That's right, yeah.
We talked about trains. We talked about
that's
you're
right,
on, I believe, the premiere show. Of
that's, that, which was in, like, the second weekend in January, I think.
Back in January.
Yeah.
So, anyway, one thing that that was occurring this week that you probably heard about down in Philadelphia. In fact, it began right about when we went off the air last Saturday.
Oh.
And that was the Tompkins Square Park melee, I guess is the best way to refer to it.
No, I didn't hear of it.
You haven't heard anything about it?
No, I don't even know where Tompkins Square Park is. Is it on Long Island?
No, it's in Manhattan.
Oh.
I guess you would call it the East Village. or adjacent to the village.
Oh,
anyway.
Is that because they're closing down the park at night or something like that?
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. What happens is at a certain time of night, the police come and kick everybody out of the parks in the neighborhood. Now, of course, everybody just goes out into the street then and is really loud and noisy in the street, but lately it's just been getting a little bit too much. They've been kicking people out earlier. They've been, as I'm sure most of our listeners know, they used excessive force to do this
last
Saturday.
Yes, but whose standards? Tell us.
Well, what I'm going to do is, I don't like to quote the Daily News, but I do have an article by them in front of me, and I just like just to get the idea of what happened across, or their idea of what happened. A bloody six-hour melee erupted at Tompkins Square Park on the Lower East Side early, I guess, last Sunday, as hundreds of club-wheeling cops in riot gear and on horseback clashed with crowds at a demonstration protesting the overnight closing of the park. When the rampage ended at 6 a.m., 52 people, including 13 cops, had been injured, none seriously, and nine people were arrested for disorderly conduct. At the height of the disturbance, 400 police officers were called to duty on the streets near the park between Avenues A and B from 7th to 10th Streets in the East Village. It was a full-scale offensive that included mounted cops, emergency service vehicles, and a helicopter that hovered close to roofs from which several people tossed bottles at cops patrolling the streets. Many area residents charged that police indiscriminately beat onlookers and demonstrators alike as they waded into crowds, billy clubs drawn, and herded people away from the park. At least one reporter and several photographers also said they were pushed and struck by police. Responding to the clash and reports of brutality, Mayor Koch, after conferring with police officials, lifted the Midnight to Dawn Park curfew not only at Tompkins Square Park, but also at Washington Square and Stuyvesant Parks. Now, that is not true at all, because I was in Washington Square Park last night, and not only did they kick everyone out at 11:30, they closed off the entire neighborhood.
Really?
We could
this,
not
this
get
is Washington
downtown.
Square Park down in the village.
Yeah, Washington, and it's a lot of fun being in that park at night,
especially
on the weekend.
At night, yes. Yeah, I've been there, but during the week at night.
People play music, they play chess, they roller skate. It's an incredible place to be. And, yeah, a few people sell drugs, but, you know, that kind of thing will happen anywhere.
At any time.
Right. So, last night, it all started at about, I guess, 9 o'clock, that you saw cops everywhere with horses
and
riot helmets.
You were there then?
Yeah, I was there last night.
So this is an actual first-hand account that you're...
Oh, yeah, for what it's worth. But these cops had these little red ribbons. Red... long red streamers or something, you know, things that you use to
how festive.
To cordon off things, I guess, whatever you call those red things. And, you know, we asked a few of them, well, what are these for? And they said, oh, we're going to have a party later, you know, in their usual New York cop wit. So what eventually ended up happening was every street from West 8th Street, in fact, all the way up to East 8th Street, that was going downtown was completely blocked off to cars and pedestrians.
Ooh.
And, you know, we tried going down 5th Avenue, and the policeman said, you can't go down there, the park's closed.
Not even down 5th Avenue.
And we said, well, this isn't the park, is it? This is the street. I mean, streets are closed now, too, and parks? What's going on? You know, I said, that's just the way it is. No explanation offered. You know, I said, hey, I have relatives on the other side of this this barrier. I haven't seen them in 10 years, you know?
Uh-huh.
What about Glasnost? What about all that stuff? Turned a deaf ear to it. We had to walk practically over to the East River. Well, actually, we had to walk to Broadway to go downtown enough to get to Bleecker Street.
Now, could you have taken a subway line or something?
Well, I guess so, if you wanted to go down into the heat, 120-degree subway platform to get down there. But when you think of it, what in the world was going on? There were people in the park. They closed off an entire neighborhood. I mean, businesses had to close because no one could go down their streets.
So it was like martial law, huh?
That's exactly what it was. For what reason? To get people out of a park. What were they doing? They weren't doing anything in the park until the police started beating them up. So, well, I don't understand the rationale behind it. And then once you get these hundreds and hundreds of people out of the park, where do they go? They all crowd down the same streets, pushing and shoving, and being very noisy.
And were they looting and pillaging and stuff?
Well, they didn't quite get to that point. When it's really hot outside, you really lose all desire to loot and pillage.
Yeah. I guess you do get a little sluggish, huh?
Very sluggish, yeah. And there was traffic everywhere because none of the cars could go down the streets. They all had to go down Broadway and 6th Avenue. So the effect was these people that complain, who live near the park. They complain about the noise coming from the park. Well, now the noise is coming right from the street underneath their homes because all the people are out of the park. Nobody lives in the park.
See,
well,
now,
actually,
that's
not true. Some people do live in the park.
See, that's what happens when you start complaining. Things will get worse.
When you start complaining, things get worse?
Well, that's what happened. That's what you just said. Now, you were complaining about the heat before.
You're saying the people outside the park were complaining, and now things
have
gotten
worse
for them.
That's right.
Well, no, I mean, things have gotten worse, but not because of them. It's because of this stupid way of dealing with what was a very minor problem.
Mm.
Now, I'd also like to look at the Village Voice. Now, this is a paper I like quoting from, and I have to be careful, though, because they do use some gutter language occasionally.
Yeah.
But they refer to the whole thing as nightclubbing, reports from the Tompkins Square police riot, and I think that's a very appropriate term.
Wasn't that a Grace Jones album?
What?
Nightclubbing.
Yes, it probably was. But the police riot came from the Chicago Democratic Convention in 1968. That's when police more or less did the same thing. And went a little crazy on a crowd of demonstrators. The riot was pretty much, I wasn't there myself, but I know people who were. It was pretty much a police riot because they're the ones that did most of the damage.
What, this is in Chicago?
No, this was last Saturday, a week ago
mm-hmm.
today in New York City. It's true that things, bottles were thrown. Of course, policemen have helmets and bulletproof vests and all kinds of protection and horses and things like that. Your average tourist on the street does not have any protection against a cop with a club and all kinds of other horrible things. Thank God no gunplay was used. But unfortunately, that was not the case out here in Long Island. Another case I'll probably get to later on.
Oh, geez, this is wonderful for me to come back.
Oh, it's a very cheerful.
Yeah,
well,
I thought
humidity and police brutality. That's pretty much what we're talking about.
I'll tell you
here.
What they do in Philadelphia, though. They have all these suspected crack houses.
Uh-huh.
They're basically all abandoned houses in various neighborhoods of the city. And what the city is doing is they're sealing them up with cinder blocks. And there's like supposedly 500 of them that they've targeted for sealing up, and they're doing them at the rate of about two a day.
Well, are they telling the people inside before they seal them up?
Well, usually there's nobody, you know, that they, once they see the heat coming down the street, they kind of flee.
Uh-huh.
But all the furniture and stuff that's inside the houses all gets thrown out and taken.
Well, I mean, that's all fine and dandy if they're drug houses, but what if it's not a drug house? What if it's just a poor person that lives there?
That's,
and who's going to believe him?
That's true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, again, it's the founders... Not the founders, the fathers of the city of Philadelphia that are involved in this. But
well, now...
I'm bringing some of my own dirty laundry
well,
up
now,
to you.
Well, now, those folks in Philadelphia, the cops in Philadelphia, have quite a lot of damage to repair, too, with the way they firebombed the neighborhood years ago.
Well, that was under the mayor's orders.
That was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was that big move incident a couple of years ago. You know, they burned 62 houses down.
They burned down 62 houses to get a few people out of
Yeah, they had to evict
house.
A few people out of the one house. They ended up killing them all. I think 11 people perished in the fire.
Including some kids.
Several children, yes. Yeah, so there's helpless children that didn't know right from wrong, and they all perished, as well as the adults.
You say it was under orders from the mayor, but, I mean...
Apparently
you know,
so, yeah.
You know, soldiers were under orders from Hitler, you know. It's the same thing. There's a certain point where you have to question authority, even if you're answering directly to
yes,
authority.
But why?
Because it goes...
I gotcha.
It goes against the common thread of humanity.
Mm.
And when you... Okay, I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you asked it because I have someone here that I would like to point to as an example.
Oh, right in their studio there?
And this might be the one piece of good news that we'll have this entire day. From Louisville, Kentucky. Any police officer who has ever issued a traffic ticket has encountered the sad, contrite eyes of the guilty motorist. When this approach fails, as it almost inevitably does, contrition often gives way to uncharitable thoughts about the police officer who surely has a heart of stone. Many officers, of course, do conceal at least some measure of sympathy behind those mirrored shades, but Officer Michael Grist has taken compassion for the offending motorist to a new level. For at least a year, he confined his law enforcing largely to imaginary drivers. Officer Grist, a 17-year police veteran with a stellar record, has been suspended from the force for writing as many as 1,000 tickets in the names of fictitious drivers. He has even cited some real ones, too, an act that could not have inflicted any more pain on those unfortunates than it did on him. "I just couldn't bring myself to write tickets," Officer Grist told the Louisville Courier-Journal. "I had a conscience. I had a heart. I started seeing the human beings behind the driver's wheels. While the plight of the soft-hearted police officer has provoked amusement for many Kentuckians, especially those who know the dread of a police light flashing in the rearview mirror, the police department did not find the matter so humorous. Police officials have opened an investigation to determine how many bogus tickets have been written. In a preliminary count, the Jefferson County clerks have found more than 1,000 such tickets going back to 1982. And,
yeah, but have they ever been paid?
No, in fact, most of them came back from the post office marked undeliverable, because they're fake people, obviously. So, fictitious drivers have no licenses, so the cases wound up in a dead letter file. But since last year, using a new accounting system, the Transportation Department has sent the undeliverable tickets back to the local courthouse, where it was discovered that most of these tickets led to Officer Grist. Officer Grist's record includes the annual Mayor's Award for Outstanding Public Service. Fellow officers say he has received far more commendatory letters of commendation from citizens. Yes, he has received more of those than most officers have. And here's a good quote here. "He's the finest man that ever lived," said Officer John Frazier, who has worked with Officer Grist for 14 years. "He's the kind of person who really likes people to like him, and he really goes out of his way to help people way more than the average cop."
Wait a minute. How could... Did you say that he goes out of his way to help people way more than the average cop?
That's what it says here, yeah.
W-E-I-G-H?
No. W-A-Y.
Oh, he helps
no,
way
he
more.
Way more. Although it does look kind of chunky in the picture here, but no, he doesn't.
I thought you were saying
he helps people
put on weight, you know, to that they weigh more than the average.
Now, listen to this.
Since
January, the officer has been assigned to a vehicle that cruises the highways to help stranded motorists. It was a job he had wanted for years, helping old ladies with flat tires. Officer Griss said, "That's the kind of work that suits me, and that is my idea of a good cop, you know? Or at least one aspect that I think all cops should carry with them at some point."
Well, do they have any of them in Suffolk County?
Oh, they have a few, but...
No, I mean they go around looking for people who need help.
There are a few nice people in any organization, yes, but there are also a few that aren't so nice. A few that are downright nasty.
You've gotten a few tickets in your time, huh?
Not to speak of. Not for anything serious. Actually... I appealed most of them, and I don't think I ever had anything that stayed on my record. So I'm fine. But I'm amazed that cops lie in the courtroom. That's something.
Do they really?
Think. Oh yeah.
I've never experienced
that. The whole court experience is something I don't even want to get into because it's just so.
I've been to court on one ticket I had gotten right after I'd moved to Pennsylvania. I had gone through a red light, which I freely admit I did, but because the intersection was so poorly marked, there was no stop line telling me, you know, I can't go past this point. And I was coming up to the stoplight, it was turning yellow, figured I'd stop like a good citizen. But since there was no stop line, I looked and I had stopped in the middle of the intersection. I looked to my left and I saw these cars about ready to come straight at me. And so I proceeded on through the intersection and was promptly pulled over and handed a summons to appear, and I did. And I brought in my 27 8x10 color glasses.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't quite that many, and they were black and white. But and I was able to get off the charge of going through the red light. Cops said, "Well, welcome to Pennsylvania, then."
What does that mean?
Well, because I was brand new in the state at that time.
Oh, I see.
Just moved from New York, you know.
That's pretty funny. Now, if you go up to a stop sign and it says stop at stop line, there isn't a stop line, can you go merrily through it?
That's what I always do. That's how I interpret it as.
Now you know the reason why there's so many collisions around here when Mike's back in town. Because there's at least one of those in town.
I can think of one important one. Yep, I can.
Well, we do have a person patiently ringing the phone, so I'm going to get to that, and then we'll get back to police clubbings and all kinds of neat, nasty, ugly things.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
You're talking about tickets.
Well, it's one of the things we're talking about.
I got lots of tickets. Are you talking about court appearances?
Well, we can talk about those, too. You got lots of tickets? You've been in court a lot, eh?
Yeah. I've always been there.
Are you a judge?
No.
Oh.
As far as from the judge you can see.
You're a plaintiff.
Yes, I'm a plaintiff.
No, he's a defendant.
Just testing. Okay, go ahead. Well, tell us your experiences.
I have a complaint anyway. But anyway, you know, at the end of the month, in New York State, there is a quota system that they have to have the tickets in.
That's true. Is that really true, though?
It is true because my friend is a state trooper. A good friend of mine is a state trooper. And he said at the end of the month, watch yourself on the parkways because all the state troopers got to have so many tickets at the end of the month, and they put it in. And that's no baloney.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I've heard similar stories like that, that there is a quota. And that,
I always hear that story, and no one knows that it is true. And that's why people don't watch themselves.
Now, does that also apply to Suffolk County Police Department?
I would think so.
And they patrol the expressway,
exactly,
of course.
That's exactly why that policeman in your article that was writing all them hundreds of tickets.
Yeah, he was writing those because he had to write tickets. He had to write a certain number of tickets.
Well, now, that was in Kentucky, remember, now.
Yeah, but the same mentality holds true whether you're in Northport or...
For the state, have to produce income. So, of course, they got to write tickets to produce income. It's only logical.
What town are you calling from?
I'm over in Huntington.
You're over in Huntington, okay.
Right, now, another thing about New York City. A friend of mine is a transit officer. And in New York City, when they get you a number and they don't like you, you'll park your car in the wrong place, or you know somebody they don't like, they write you a phony ticket, and they drop their half of the ticket out the window, and you get the ticket in the mail, even if you haven't been in New York City. That's how they get back at people, because I know someone who does that.
Wow.
And it doesn't come back to the officer that often because you know how many tickets they write in a ticket.
Yeah, there must be millions of them, huh?
Millions of them.
Yeah.
So they never come back to the officer the way it come back to that Kentucky cop.
Well, it didn't come back to him for years because they didn't get a certain kind of system until very
recently.
In
Kentucky, too. I spent some time in Kentucky.
Uh-oh.
They got no computers there.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they do now. That's how it this Good Samaritan cop got traced because of this new computer.
Computers are getting everyone.
Across the border yesterday because they got nothing in that state.
Well, now, we do have some listeners in Kentucky, and we don't want to get them upset.
Oh, let them get upset. They don't know nothing.
Well, I think...
Remember,
lots of friends in Kentucky, and they don't know nothing.
You remember when the sewers exploded there in Louisville?
No, I wasn't there.
Oh.
It wasn't my fault.
No, we didn't say it was. It was Ralston Purina's fault, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's right. They had dumped chemicals down in the sewers, which caused the sewers to go...
Yeah, that was fun.
That's bizarre. You know, a friend of mine had an apartment in the basement where they got one of the pumps to pump up the toilet.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Well, it's just something about sewers. You have to use Charmin. But Charmin deteriorates better in the water. That's what all the plumbers been telling her. She's got to blow back all the time. But she uses, like, Scotts or something like
that.
Yeah,
and that's usually too harsh anyway.
But don't use that too harsh.
Yeah.
Well, you're a sensitive fella.
I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how we got into toilet tissue here, but let's please move on to something else because it's a talk show. It's a family show.
As far as all the court appearances, when you say the cops lie in the court, cops always lie in the court. You know why?
Well,
cop told me this. He says, everybody lies in the court.
That's exactly my point.
I did not lie in that court.
I got in trouble because I didn't lie. It was ridiculous.
Well, now, I've watched Divorce Court a couple of times, and it seems that a lot of people on that show lie to the judge. Now, this isn't like a people's court where, you know, they're real people, but they're actors. But they do seem to lie a lot. Now, mind you, I don't make a habit of watching Divorce Court, but I have watched it a couple of times.
The people are on the people's court.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's this insect that just flew in here. Actually, it's a big piece of dust that just floated down from the sky.
You got roaches there?
That scared the hell out of me. That's okay now. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know, on the people's court, those people, they think they're actors on the show? They're not.
Well, there's one show with an.
Ain't that stupid?
There's one show where they're not actors. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's People's Court, I think.
Well, I don't like either one of them.
With Judge Wapner.
On that show, my cousin was on that show.
Your cousin's on that show?
He was. He complained. The guy's cat next door ripped up his clothes.
I see.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Watch on the rerun, man.
Well, now, how do you get somebody to appear on? I mean, if somebody gets you upset, how do you say, okay, I'm taking you to People's Court?
Oh no, see. And people's court, because my cousin, he lives in California. Well, he don't live in California. He's in Jana, California. But he's living there.
Resides there.
Yeah. You know, they have agents to go out, and they only pick they interview the people like they did on the Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
They do.
I believe it.
Well, and how do they interview the people on the Jeopardy?
Well, they take them in a room. They ask them stuff. They don't want nobody on there that's going to swear. They don't want anybody on there going to cry when they lose.
It's not a live show anyway.
No, but they have to, you know, they don't want to waste their film on people that are dumb.
Or time, more importantly.
Or time. You know, I watch, what's the show with the big wheel? Wheel of Fortune, that's what it is. I watched that. And the people on there, they're getting the uglier. Which means that they're picking people, you know, they don't pick the engineers and, I'm a dentist from Sacramento and stuff. Oh, they're always that. They always, sometimes they get a guy from Dairy Queen. And you know how their people are. There's any old guy off the street can go work at Dairy Queen. $3 an hour. Hello.
We're here.
Oh, no, no, I'm saying, have you been watching Wheel of Fortune?
No, I personally don't, no. Eric, how about you? Do you watch Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, I'm sorry, if you're talking to me, I can't hear you. I'm trying to fix my headphones here. They just fell apart.
Oh.
Oh, the mic. Is that mic you have?
Yeah.
You know, Miriam?
What?
Miriam. She's on Wednesday night.
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Miriam.
No, I guess I don't.
I don't know her last name, but she mentions your name all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like you.
Oh, shucks.
If anyone has a pair of decent headphones they'd like to donate to this radio station, please do so, because I'm about to throw these out the window.
Wait a minute. We don't have windows, and even if we did...
I'm going to make one.
Even if we did, we would ask for an air conditioner to put in the same.
Well, I've given up on that, but I do need a headphone here, because this is like pressing in on my head, and it's like I can't even hear. I only hear every other word I'm saying. So,
Hey, I got to go now.
Go now. Oh, yeah, okay.
One more thing, though.
What's that?
I'm playing all that accordion music.
What happened to the music?
Oh, well...
Accordion music, still, man.
Well...
A lot of people out here, everybody raise a hand, don't like the accordion music. The whole tier don't like the accordion music.
Well, your opinions have been noted.
Yes, they've been noted.
Okay, man.
Well, you don't hear it now, do you?
I don't hear it.
Oh, but don't play no more.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Goodbye.
632-6901, area code.
516.
We'd like to hear from somebody from another state, if possible. Tell us if the weather's any better. We know the weather's no better anywhere, but...
Now, when you say...
Hold on, I'll get to that in a minute.
When you say from another state, do you mean like...
Like Connecticut or something.
You mean like geographically or politically, boundarily
something
speaking.
Like that. We've got a caller on the line. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm calling from New Jersey.
No, you're not. You're not calling from New Jersey.
Yes,
I don't
I
believe
am.
You for a second.
How can you tell that I'm not calling from New Jersey?
Well, for one thing, it's a crystal clear connection. For another thing, our signal cannot possibly get to New Jersey. And for a third thing, you're lying! So.
Actually, I've gotten calls from New Jersey on my show.
Yeah, it's Chris Crowley here, former program director of WUSB.
Hi, Chris.
91.1 FM.
Hey, those aren't my headphones that are broken, are they?
No, these are the blue ones, you know? The little rubber foam thing fell off again?
Oh, no.
And you have to be like a genetic engineer to get them back on. So,
A genetic engineer?
Yeah, because you have to, like, mutate something. It's ridiculous. It doesn't fit unless you have a special kind of device that will get them to fit.
Why don't you,
So I made up my mind. I am going to throw them out the window, and if the console goes with them, so be it. It's just, that's the way I feel.
Well, I have something to bring up that, I almost hate to bring up after, I guess it's been 3 weeks of you talking about this FCC stuff.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about the FCC stuff tonight, but you can bring it up. Go right ahead.
Well, just one quick thing. With the new ruling or something?
Yeah.
So you're on after 10, right?
I'm on after 10. This is now an indecent program.
Then you can say things...
No. You cannot do that, but that's only because I don't want you to do that.
Oh, okay.
But no, actually, we're not certain yet as to exactly how that will affect non-commercial radio, but we will keep you informed, probably on programs very much like this one.
In the meantime, though, we're playing it safe and trying to maintain our family image here.
Yeah.
I noticed you beat me out just there, saying a foul word.
I didn't beat you out. It must have been the FCC sensor that we have attached to the line.
That's incredible.
Yeah, well, he sits down in the hall, and he listens to all the phone calls. And sometimes he comes down here and tells us, you know, what we're doing wrong if we do something wrong.
Yeah, that's what happened to the intro this evening. You thought it was an accident. No, it was for real.
Yeah, it was for real.
So tell me, are there any places where they have weather like this all the time?
Well, you know, that's something I'm glad you brought up, because I'd like to find out. What I'm going to do is, let's pick a place where you think it's different.
Well, I'd like to live in a place that has weather like this all the time.
Well,
could you tell us why, then?
A tropical rainforest, perhaps.
Because I seem to handle this weather much better than other people, so I have like an advantage over them.
So you mean you're not sluggish like the rest of us?
No, not at all.
Well, you go out and you exercise and things like that?
Yeah, I've been getting so much work done around my house, it's great.
Well, is by chance your house air-conditioned?
No, no.
It's incredible.
It is by the water, though.
Well, that helps. That helps when you buy the water.
That does have an influence.
That sea air.
Yeah.
Those sea breezes.
But still, it's terribly uncomfortable. And
now, do those sea breezes usually pick up in the late afternoon?
Yes, I noticed that. And then they die down at sundown.
Hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think Joel Block said something about that a few years ago.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
Now, let's pick a place somewhere in the world where we think that it's radically different from
Burma.
Here. No, not Burma. They've had enough problems this week.
You don't want to go to Rangoon?
I don't want to go to Rangoon. I don't want to go there. No, no, no.
Hmm.
What's a place that's known for being cool?
Reykjavik.
Wait,
Iceland?
For being cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iceland, that's a good idea.
My friend says he would live there if he could.
Chris, I'm going to ask you to hold on for a minute, and then I'm going to try to conference you in on this.
Okay,
here we go. We're going to hear a few beeps and dashes and things like that, but I pray for patience here. And away we go.
Ooh.
AT&T, may I help you?
Hello, I'd like overseas information, please, for Iceland.
Iceland? Sure.
Hi. Thank you very much.
She can't hear me.
And I believe Chris is on the line.
I'm on the line.
Okay, great. We are going to try to find out the number here. Now all we have to do is figure out a number to ask for so that we can find out what the temperature is in Reykjavik, Iceland. Actually, okay, I got it. I got it, guys. I got it. I know what I'm going to do here. As soon as the phone starts ringing in Iceland. Oh, that's an Icelandic ring if I've ever heard one.
It even sounds cold.
I can feel the icicles falling off whatever machines make phones ring. An operator is putting on her parka and running to the phone.
Now, that's fairly sexist. It could be a he.
I'll bet it's not.
Hello?
Uh-huh. Is this Iceland? Is this an Icelandic operator?
Yes.
Ah, Reykjavik? Hello?
Yes.
Is this Reykjavik?
Yes, this is Reykjavik.
I'd like the number for the weather forecast, the automated weather forecast number.
Just a moment.
Thank you.
Oh.
Isn't this nice to be able to do this? And this is totally free. People think that this costs an astronomical amount of money to call Iceland, but no, it doesn't do that.
They think, how can a non-commercial radio station waste all this money, but we're not.
No, it costs you 45 cents to call 411, local information, but you can call Iceland for free.
45 cents?
That's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, the new phone books came out. Did you see them?
Is your name in it?
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Hmm. They're pretty fat, aren't they?
No, actually, I got two of them. I got a Yellow Pages and I got a regular White Pages. Is Chris still on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. I might have a trouble with you, Chris, because I added you.
Area 1.
Oh, boy. Area 1, yes?
Number is 17000.
Okay. Can you tell me approximately what the temperature is there now?
No, I don't know.
Is it cold this time of year?
Pardon?
Is it cold this time of year?
No.
You're not having a heat wave, are you?
No.
Okay, I'm calling from the United States, and we've had over 90 degree weather for the past 40 days, so we just wanted to know if it was cooler over there.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well. Thanks very much for your help. I guess we should go back to whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
Bye.
You're dismissed. Yes.
You woke her up or something.
I don't know what I did, but apparently I got her all upset.
What time is it in Reykjavik?
Did you get your number?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. That was the AT&T operator signing off there. Well, okay, so we found out what we needed to know.
Is Chris still there?
Chris, I think, is still here.
Still here.
Okay.
Ooh.
Hopefully we won't get a dial tone.
What?
I don't think we'll get a dial tone because we were connected to another line and they just hung up. I think it'll automatically disconnect.
Okay. Hey, Eric, I have my new phone book right in front of me.
You do? So you got yours, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, they threw it on my driveway, I think it was yesterday.
They threw it on our lawn.
Yeah. So they're out, yeah. I read it yesterday, and it's quite exciting.
I guess we have to get new phone books for the radio station.
It's pretty funny. We just got about 50 phone books for the radio station.
Yeah, I noticed them.
210 pounds.
210 pounds. It was amazing. But now we have to get new ones. We only did this about a month ago, too. But
why did you get 50? Oh, so you didn't have to pay 45 cents.
So we don't have to call information and pay lots of money. Because that's an astronomical expense when people call information. But what they do is they stagger the phone books. They come out at different times of the year. Like Nassau comes out at a different time than Suffolk, and I don't know why they do it that way, but that's just the way it is.
Production purposes, I believe.
I suppose, something like that.
Adjusting some engineering things on the console there.
The transmitter was on fire. I just had to put it out. That's
no,
all.
That only happens in New York.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, sure you do. Yeah, that's. I think we since it's come out, I think you have to mention it. Some radio stations
in
New York have gone off the air.
That's a bit of a problem we had yesterday. Yes, Chris, I don't know if you heard anything about this.
About what?
As some people know, I do stuff for one other radio station in New York City.
At
WBAI. Station that
you weren't going to mention BAI.
We beg at intervals is what it stands for. They ask for money all the time. But there was a radio program I was doing there yesterday, all about telephones and the phone company and how a phone company can rip people off, that kind of thing. You know, neat program. Put a lot of work into it. It's going to put it on at 1:30 in the afternoon. And for some reason, and I'm sure lots of people have heard about this now. There was a fire in the Empire State Building, and 11 radio stations were knocked off the air at 1:29 p.m., 1 minute before my show was going to go on.
Were any TV stations involved?
Channel 68 supposedly was involved.
Ah.
But no one really cares about them. Anyway.
Someone was telling me they were listening to your show, and it got taken off the air.
It got taken right off the air. There's no end to what the phone company will go to prevent someone's view from getting across.
Yeah,
they knocked out 11 radio stations there just to prevent that, that one radio program.
Sure, yeah.
Now, of course, none of this has...
Keep fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm. None of this has even reached the accusatory stage yet, but...
Until just now.
Actually, we at the radio station, we got so many calls from people that believe that's exactly what happened, but...
But you didn't mention
BAI
December
listeners
10th.
Are crazy to start with. What?
You didn't mention December 10th yet, did you?
December 10th. Oh, my goodness, December 10th, yes. December 10th, for people who live in the local area, that is 751 Exchange, 689 Exchange, what's the beep for?
751.
Oh, yes, 751, 689, or 941. Incidentally.
Now, wait a minute, does 246 fall into that as well?
246 is being phased out. That's the old campus
exchange.
Oh,
that's going to be completely gone.
It's going to be gone. Wow. Gone, goodbye. But if you have a 941 number, this is something completely different. If you have a 941 telephone number, you also have a 751 telephone number. If you dial 751 instead of 941, it will work. I just thought I'd point that out.
Now, is that only from locally here? Or?
No, that's everywhere.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
What?
I mean, if my number begins 751, I can dial 941?
No. It only works one way. It only works if you have a 941 number. It will work in the 751 exchange, too. And the reason for that is because phone numbers used to be 5 digits, and it would start off 1. Whatever, and then the next 4 digits. 689 numbers would start off 9, then the next 4 digits. So 751, 941 were the same. And I don't even know why they added 941 if they couldn't do that. They couldn't make more numbers.
Maybe it was just for future expansion, which is going to happen on December 10th.
On December 10th, the local area will go equal access, which means a lot of things. We'll get all those nice features like call waiting, call forwarding. Well, we'll have the option to pay exorbitant fees for those things.
And touch tones?
Our touch tone service will be turned off if we don't pay for it, because when they cut over to magical new equipment, they have a device that can detect if you're paying for your touch tones or not, and if not, they will turn them off.
Mm.
So that's something that hopefully we'll be addressing in the next couple of months, because they charge you a certain amount of money for touch tones, and there isn't really anything you're paying for, because, well, who creates the touch tone? Who makes it?
They do.
They do not. Your telephone creates the touch tone. So why should you pay for something that you're creating? And there's no equipment needed to process it. It's all standard equipment. And it makes things faster for them. You can dial four times faster than...
That's right. And then you have their equipment tied up less, since you're using a touch tone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Quite true. So those are some of the issues that we will be addressing before December 10th. So I'm glad you brought that up, Chris.
Okay.
Anything else on your mind?
There's a lot on my mind, but I have to finish cleaning my room.
Cleaning your room? Boy, you're so industrious.
I'm into it.
That's something none of us, no one else is, I don't
think. Are you listening to some good tunes, or do you have us on?
I have you guys on.
Oh.
So, Chris, let me just ask you, what are your feelings on the, I guess they call it the police riot in New York City? Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I was pretty mad about that.
You were?
I mean, we were, I think Rob Friends and I were hanging out in one of those parks the other night, and it was a lot of fun, you know, watching people throwing around flames and just people having fun, and that's a shame that they can't do that late at night now.
It's, you know, in this kind of weather, it's really the only way out is to hang out at night in a nice, cool environment, and a park is perfect for that kind of thing.
It was very cool.
And the people there, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe they sell drugs, maybe, you know, they get into fights now and then, but it doesn't require that kind of a reaction. You don't have to throw everybody out of a place. You don't have to turn on them with you know, clubs and tear gas or whatever they used. It's crazy. I mean, last night when I was walking around at 11:30 and the entire downtown was closed off, people were prevented from walking down streets. There was no reason for this. It just made an already tense situation even tenser.
Well, I noticed there were a lot of police officers going around the park when we were just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't seem to be, you know, hostile.
Uh-huh. Well, people get hostile when they can't walk down the street to get to, you know, a place they want to go to. They have to walk all the way across town to go down the right street. I mean, this is New York. It's not Berlin, you know. We shouldn't have to deal with this.
Well,
not
also,
Rangoon,
like, you may have wanted to walk up Fifth Avenue because it was, like, a nicer street than, say, another street that you may have been forced to walk up.
Uh-huh.
Where your life may have been endangered in some way.
Would I have been endangered by what?
By walking up some other avenue that wasn't as safe.
Well, I don't think so, but maybe someone else would. Yeah, it's possible. But I just don't like being, you know, maneuvered about for no good reason. And at this very moment, I'm sure in New York City, the exact same thing is going on. They've closed off the downtown area to keep people from going into Washington Square Park or to go anywhere near Washington Square Park, which, in my opinion, is one of the best parks in the city, if not the best.
So what can be done about it?
I don't really know. I know there was a protest today in the city, a day-long protest. I don't know. I haven't heard any reports from that as to how it went, if there was any bloodshed or what.
Nothing came over the wire?
I didn't see anything on the wire, but you know the AP. They'd rather give the lotto numbers first. So I don't know what to tell you about that. But
write a letter to the Post or something.
As long as this heat and humidity keeps up, the situation is going to be tense. And it's not going to get any better with hard-headed attitudes. And something's got to change. I don't know why they said, they initially announced that Washington Square Park was going to remain open, and then they turned around and closed it again, closed it even earlier. It used to close at midnight, now it's closing at 11:30. So it's kind of nutso, you know? Anyway, Chris, thanks very much for calling.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Remember that red tape you said they were putting up?
Yeah, red tape all over the place.
Did it say anything on it?
No, it was just like red tape, and it was ridiculous. They wouldn't even tie it to the building. One police officer would stand on one end holding it, and the other one would stand in another on the other end of the street and hold it, and the one in the middle would play jump rope or something. I don't know. But that was their job, to stand there and tell people they couldn't go down this street and hold a little red ribbon. It's so silly. I mean,
what about people who's
getting
street?
The crack dealers? The guardian angels are the ones busting the crack dealers and getting shot by the cops for it. So it's nuts. You know, I think the heat is affecting officials in the city or something.
But not me.
Not you. You're in there cleaning your room. But you may have heard of another incident. I did want to get to this, where an off-duty cop shot somebody, killed somebody in Northport last weekend. This was also about the same time that the riot took place last weekend, early Sunday. Seems there was some kind of a brawl during a graduation party.
Not a Tawana brawl.
No. Another crack like that, I'm going to fade you down.
Sorry.
East Northport. There was some kind of a brawl outside a graduation party. It spilled over onto the lawn of an off-duty New York City police officer. Why in God's name do off-duty cops carry guns? I don't know. But just a few years ago, right here in Setauket, outside Mario's, a kid was killed because of some altercation involving honking a car horn. Of course, the cop got away with it. You know, no problem. He was justified in shooting the person because his life was in danger or something. Of course, no one knew he had a gun. Probably no one knew he was a cop. I mean, people say, I'm a cop. All right, you're supposed to believe them? You know, even if he had identified himself, it's a guy doesn't look like a cop. And believe me, when cops aren't in uniform, sometimes they look like humans because they're human beings. So you don't always believe people when they say they're cops. And lots of
people... There's a report in the Smithtown Messenger where these two guys walked up to these kids with a go-kart and said, we're police officers. And they took the go-kart. And they weren't police officers.
So you can't blame people for being skeptical. So anyway, what happened here was the brawl spilled out onto his lawn, this New York City police officer, and he ended up shooting four of them and killing one of them. He said he has maintained that he was assaulted twice during the incident, fired his revolver twice each time in self-defense. He told police he was struck, fired twice, he was struck from behind, he turned in the opposite direction and fired twice more. It's much like a jigsaw puzzle we have to piece together, the Suffolk County Police are saying. And there were several scuffles, people were scrambling to leave, the party was at the home of, well, I don't want to give names or addresses out, I don't know why newspapers do that either, they give the exact address of where these things happen.
Eric?
Yeah?
What has the NRA said about this incident?
I haven't said anything, and I hope they don't. Because every time they say something, I get upset.
Well, I'm sure it would be very interesting to hear what they would have to say.
Uh-huh. Well, now, this is what happened, okay? According to the police report, the fighting had begun after a group of youths who were not invited tried to crash the party. They were thrown out of the party, but they recruited some help and came back with bats and clubs. Obviously, they were bent on getting even. When police arrived the second time, they found about 60 youths fighting in the street. At least three squad cars were at the scene, and second precinct officers spent almost an hour restoring order. At some point during that interval, the off-duty cop complained about the conduct at the party and said that they were throwing beer bottles all over his lawn. He was told to return to his house, and he did. 10 minutes after leaving the scene, police received the third call, this time to assist a police officer. The dispatcher quickly upgraded the call to shots fired. And that's pretty much where that stood. So what happened was, trying to find if they have any other account of this. Witnesses have given different accounts, claiming that the police officer was unprovoked when he fired. The district attorney's office has said that a grand jury will be asked to decide whether charges should be brought in the incident, which left three other young men wounded. And that's pretty much all we have on that. But that happened right out here in Northport, so it's a serious thing. I really... personally, strongly don't think that civilians, and police officers are civilians when they're not on duty, should carry guns, should have them and fire them and do these horrible things.
I wonder if Ron Phillips was there.
I don't know. Does he live in Northport?
Yeah, and I know he's quite a party goer.
Oh.
Who's that?
Ron Phillips, one of our USB staff people here.
Ah.
He's going to be filling in for me this Tuesday afternoon.
Well, we can call him up and ask him that.
3 to 6.
Hopefully he wasn't one of the people shot, or one of the people involved in the melee.
Well, he knew the whole inside story on that Ricky Casso thing.
The devil worshippers?
Well, the PCP smokers.
Yeah, I put that in double quotes and all kinds of things like that. So,
well, real story about it.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of things that are happening, and, you know, the weather doesn't help. The weather makes it a lot worse.
But not for me.
Can you wait, though, Eric, until a full moon happens and wonder what happens then?
Full moon. We just had a full moon, so fortunately we're okay.
The end of the month, yeah, it's a full moon.
Well, you know, we could go out and watch the Perseids.
Yeah, except there's clouds. Chris, are there clouds tonight?
Can you hold on?
Yeah,
sure.
Chris is going to check the surface. There he goes.
He's going to walk across his halfway clean room, open up his window... stick his head outside, same, look skyward, and then return with a first-hand report.
If you'd like to get involved in this discussion, give us a call, 632-6901, area code 51.
I lost my eyeglasses, but I can see some stars.
You can see some stars, and you didn't hit your head on anything.
Are any of them shooting?
What?
Are any of those stars shooting?
Or off-duty cops?
Jimmy?
Are they shooting stars, is what he's asking.
Oh, shooting?
Yeah.
Well, it takes a while to see a shooting star.
Well, that's true. You have to look for a while.
Why don't you look over Northport?
No. All right, well, if we have time later, we can go outside and do a live report.
Yeah, well,
on the Perseids.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. We should, you know...
Well, aren't the shooting stars after midnight?
Usually they're after midnight, yeah.
That's true.
Big argument with my mom about that today.
You got into a big argument?
Yeah, she said it's before midnight, and I said it was after midnight.
Well, I think it actually starts, you know, after dark. No?
Well,
aren't they occurring at all times, though? In this period, you know, within the next couple of days?
We were referring to the best time to see shooting stars.
Yeah, the best time is probably after midnight.
I would say the best time after dark.
But it gets much darker after midnight. It's always darkest before the dawn.
Well, she said she heard on some major radio station that the best time was in between 11 and 12.
Well, maybe she heard Joel Block on our major radio station saying that.
See, I said Joel gives you the facts, whereas they give you the thing that's going to please the general public who has to be at work at 8 o'clock the next morning.
True. Well, Chris, thanks for all the facts. We've got to get some more calls here.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Mike,
hey, Chris. Sorry you're not going to do your show on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, too.
Well, I think I'll drop by anyway.
Oh, that's mighty noble of you.
Oh, yeah.
Good talking to you again, Mike.
Yeah, same here.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. 632-6901. Bunch of numbers, but if you dial them, you'll get us.
In the right sequence. If you dial them in the right sequence. And if you persevere, and hang on, because we have several calls that have been blinking here for quite a while.
Hang on. Don't hang up. Hang on.
That's right.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, just fine. How's the show going?
The show's going just well.
That's good.
That's
I would like to greet both you and Mr. Juhas on being entertaining, as always.
Well, it sounds also like you're calling from a bathroom.
No, it's actually, I've called once before from this room. It's not really a room. It's more like something that's leading into a room, and it's about a 10-foot by 10-foot by 10-foot cube.
Is it like a foyer?
With four doors.
Four doors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a car.
Which are in groups of two, so it's actually really only two doors, and they kind of work together.
It is a car.
You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know if you think about it. It's like it's in the entrance part of a very large building.
Ah.
So what's the subject tonight? I was listening when you were talking about the fact that you were in Washington Square Park and traveling. I guess you were heading downtown on Fifth Avenue, and the police would not let you pass. I wondered if the thought crossed your mind that you might aggravate that particular police officer, and whether it concerned you or not, that if you did or did not.
Well, I make it a policy not to try to aggravate people, whether they be muggers, policemen, or
anybody with a gun,
ice cream, anyone. I just like to see what they say. You know, you say, well, why can't I go down there? And you know, what kind of reason they give? Most of the time, it's no reason at all. It's because I say so or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I find most of the problems with the attitude that is used in enforcing these laws.
Hmm. Well, I find that very interesting that they actually wouldn't let you enter the neighborhood. I mean, and even they would close it off to vehicles as well, which I find extremely surprising. It seems like a Long Island type of reaction to something in New York City, you know?
Well, you should have seen the traffic. It was incredible. People honking and blaring their horns, and everyone just getting so upset, you know? Everyone was getting really mad. And this didn't have to happen. This is solving a problem by making it so much worse for everybody.
It's publicizing it.
I know. I don't understand it either. Plus, if the neighbors are complaining about the noise in the park, they certainly didn't get anything. I don't know. They're not really. It seems to be much worse down there.
It is much worse. And it's not a question of punishing the people in the park. They're not the ones that caused the riot last week. The cops were the ones that were beating people up. I mean, yeah, people were throwing bottles, but there's ways of handling these things. I've seen bottles be thrown before. You can calm people down. You find the ones that are doing it, and there's usually not that many. But things got out of hand, and something should be done about it. I don't think these heavy-handed techniques are going to get anyone feeling any better about it.
I know, and there's that old thing comes up again. What can you do? You know, I'm sure people will be...
Well,
suing
we can
the
do
city
a...
of New York for police brutality or whatever, but...
there have been 100 complaints.
I don't know. What can you do to prevent something like that happening again?
Well, the one thing you can do is what we're doing now, talk about it, get it out in the open, write letters, just make sure everybody knows what happened. I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't really know what happened firsthand, but I've heard plenty of people tell me what took place. I was in the park the next day, and there were police everywhere in packs. It was incredible. At one point, they pulled up in front of this house with their lights flashing, and within the space of I'd say 45 seconds, there were 12 police cars there, And no one knew why. They were just there, and they were, like, glaring at everybody. And then they left. And no one knew what it was all about. And to this day, it's a mystery.
That is amazing. I can't believe they were in riot gear and everything. I mean, it sounds like they're paranoid.
Well, a lot of policemen are paranoid. It goes with the job, I guess, because, you know, you are a walking target. It's a tough job. I won't deny that. But there's ways of making it tougher, and I think that's what happened last Saturday.
Well, I called, I guess, from this little square about a couple of months ago, and as you know, there's something you have I need.
Oh, okay, I understand exactly what you're talking about.
And maybe you'd like to pose to the audience that maybe they could guess what it is that I need, or something like that, whatever.
A little snowstorm in July,
but,
yes.
I'll be needing that very, very quickly, like, say, in 5 minutes or so, or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I'll arrange for a syringe to be delivered to you, and we'll waive the usual fee.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. And I just wanted to share this final thought with all of Long Island. As the phone was ringing here, and I had ringing for quite a while, I noticed that there was this spider on the floor. And it's a daddy long legs, and it was caught in the web of another spider, a smaller one of a different species.
Well,
and I don't know
you have to understand.
Which type it is, but it was caught. And I saw that this little one was getting ready to eat it or kill it or whatever the heck. And so what I did was I broke the web and I set him free.
Oh, you're not caught in the web too, are you? Because I don't want to extricate people from webs.
Yeah, well, you know, the spider's web is really what I'm referring to. And
so
I didn't want to kill either one of them. And then when you answered the phone, I started pacing mindlessly, and I just killed the spider that I just saved.
That's priceless.
And here I am, I'm like looking at his guts are all over the floor and everything else like that. And I don't know. I guess it just goes along with brain damage.
That one goes right into Metropolitan Diary. Just send that in. They'll print it. Everyone will get a good laugh out of it.
It's beautiful. I mean, there's no other show. There's no other show on radio that I could think of actually share this story without being hung up on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling anyway.
All right. Thanks for your time and. Enjoy the heat, or enjoy something, I don't know.
Well, we'll try.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Mike, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody else in the studio right now?
Yes, there is.
Someone perhaps that will be on the air later on?
Maybe related to our last caller?
Yes.
I will go get him.
Okay. Our telephone number is 632-6901, area code 516. We're talking about the heat. We're talking about the humidity and police being nasty in New York City. Maybe around here, too. Talking about all kinds of other things. Spiders being stepped upon. Nasty bits like that. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516.
Oh, and we should be official.
We are official, but you can be more official.
And say you're in tune with radio station WUSB.
In Stony Brook.
New York, 11794.
Yeah.
What is our nine-digit?
I don't know.
Offhand?
It's a nine-digit zip code. I've never learned it, and
you don't care.
I don't really care at all. But I think if you write WUSB and those nine digits, mail will get to us.
Those five digits, since we don't know those other four.
That's true. But,
yeah.
Well, you know, we
answer
do have
the phone.
Seven,
answer the phone.
The
answer
seven
the phone.
Digits for the phone number. But okay, yeah, I'll get to the phone. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, my name is Steve from Houston Airport.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was at that party briefly, and
oh boy!
I don't know. I'll tell you, everyone seems to want to blame the cops. Well, it's not only the cops; everyone wants to blame somebody.
Well,
the individual, and it's true, cops stick together and everything else. But the fact is, there was five kids from another district. It was a nice party, you know. There were adults there and everything, and there's five individuals came to start fights. They were kicked out because you know they didn't belong there, and they came back with 12 guys with baseball bats. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you show up at a party with a baseball bat intending to cause somebody bodily harm, you sign away your rights. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, it's a tragedy, but hey, you know, you go there to start a fight with a bat in your hand.
Well, now, let me just ask you this. The shooting occurred on a front lawn in the middle of the night. Now, all four kids that got shot, were they the ones with the baseball bats? I mean, when it's dark outside and you're shooting kind of wildly, isn't it possible some people who weren't involved could get hit?
One guy, the guy got shot in the leg, a guy I happen to know, he shouldn't have been shot, you know, and that's a terrible thing, you know, he got injured and actually he was trying to help the cop, but uh-huh. The guys the one guy who got killed,
uh-huh.
Yeah, he was starting trouble and he did, you know, I think, you know,
Yeah, but did he deserve to be killed, though?
Well, it's one thing to deserve to be killed. I don't think anyone deserves to be killed, you know. Well, that's not true, but...
Well, I mean, do you think they would have stopped had they known that there was a guy with a gun there? Did they know this? Did he identify himself? Those are the questions they're asking.
Oh, the question is, does it matter? If you're going to hit someone over the head with a baseball bat, I don't think it matters. I think, you know, I think the kid deserved to get shot. That's a tragedy, but, like I said, you know, and it's, you know, so the guy happened to be a cop, and the cops stick together. It's true, the cops are, you know, a lot of times.
You see, I think the difference here is if a police car had pulled up and everyone had known the cops were there, obviously that makes a difference. It's the, you know, you see the cop, you know what it means. But when you see a guy on his front lawn, you don't know that he's a cop. And it's that kind of thing that leads to all kinds of tragedies like this.
Yeah, but
obviously people are misbehaving.
It really doesn't matter. If you're going to hit someone with a bat, you should be prepared to pay the, you know, pay the price. Maybe that guy had a bat. Now make things a little equal. It happened. He had a firearm. Shot.
Well, I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it. I'm just saying that when you give that kind of power to somebody, a lot of bad things can happen as a result. And if people don't know what the situation is as it's unfolding, that's it's going to make things all the worse.
Yeah, but like I said, everyone, including the people, and you know, including the newspaper, and a lot of my peers, they think the same thing. Oh, the cop is in the wrong. Cop is in the wrong. Let's put away, you know, the fact that he was a cop. My father has a pistol permit, and you know, he carries money. And say some hoods came out to rob him of his money, or just, you know, start with him, and they happen to have bats, baseball bats. We're talking, that's serious, you know. A 19-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid with a baseball bat is danger, especially when there's 12 of them. And the guy had a firearm, and he did, you know, maybe got hit in the kneecaps or whatever. I wasn't there when the shooting went down. I left a couple hours earlier, but, hey, if I got hit with a bat and I happened to have a firearm, I don't think there'd be much question to what I would do.
Now, I don't know, I don't want to try to second-guess anybody here or anything, but it would seem to me if I had a pretty dangerous firearm in my hand, the first thing I would probably want to do is fire a warning shot up in the air. Did this cop do that? Does anybody know?
I believe he did. I believe he fired two warning shots.
Right, straight up in the air. And
yes, but that I don't think is right either, because, you know, what goes up must come down.
Except coal.
Well, no, when you shoot a bullet up into the air, for some reason, it never seems to hit anybody when it comes back down. I don't know why that is, but it's one of those little things.
Probably hits a car on the Long Island Expressway. Somebody thinks it's a rock, and they get killed from it, you know?
Now, how long do you think it would have taken, though, for the real cops, the ones in uniform, to get there? I mean, was it necessary to you know, when you were aware that people have baseball bats, wouldn't calling the cops be the best thing to do at that point?
Because those kids weren't there to act tough. They were there to beat people up.
Do you know the circumstances? What was the fight about?
Yeah, like I said, there were five kids there who didn't belong there, and they were starting, because they were from another district. They were from a district called John Glenn, another high school in the area. And they got kicked out. And because it was a nice party of relatives and parents and everything else, they got kicked out. They came back with 12 more people with baseball bats. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, you come back looking for trouble. Find it. And they did.
Eric, did you say something about there was like 60 people involved at one point?
It said in the paper 60 people were brawling on the in the street. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a madhouse. And in fact, there's about 30 cop cars shortly afterwards. The whole second precinct was there.
Do you think someone would have gotten killed had he waited for the cop cars to get there? Do you think they were out to kill somebody with the baseball bats?
Okay, no, I don't.
See, that's what I'm saying here. If it had been done the other way, you know, nobody would be dead. And I think that's a positive thing. I mean, yeah, people were out to cause trouble. People do that, you know. Teenage kids are notorious for this kind of thing. And 10 years from now, they would say, oh, my God, what a stupid jerk I was. But this kid is never going to say that, you know. And I just think it would have been a whole lot better had you know, people who took matters into their own hands acted a little bit more rationally. From
like
my point
said,
of view.
Everyone's looking to blame somebody, and I think everyone's looking to blame this cop. Even though if it was you or I think criminal charges would have been brought up. But as it was, like I said, you know, they hit the guy with a bat, the guy had a gun.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
And,
you know, rightfully so, I think.
Yeah. Well, so were you there for the whole thing?
No, I was there for a couple hours, and like I said, it wasn't really my type of party. There were their parents there, and you know, so I left. I didn't come back with, you know.
Well, now, as somebody who has at least seen part of this, what would you say to people in the future that might encounter this kind of trouble at a party, or how can you prevent this kind of thing from happening? Is there any kind of advice? What?
Don't look for trouble, because you're going to find it, and these kids did.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're nice boys and everything else. Bull. Yeah. They came with bats to beat people up.
Uh-huh.
Were you a legitimate party guest, or were you...
No, I was not.
Oh,
so I left.
Yeah.
Oh, you were one of the people kicked out?
Oh, no. Well, I was one of the many. I wasn't with these people with, you know, uh-huh. We wanted to go there to start fights. I was there to pick up girls.
Uh-huh. Did it work?
Unfortunately not.
No, too bad.
Well, okay, well, I appreciate your calling and letting us know these things. Thanks very much. 632-6901, and I'm glad we heard from somebody who was there, because that's a very important angle to get on these kind of things.
Yeah.
Our phone number is 632-6901, and
area code is 516.
If you have any comments about these kind of things, Northport shootings, or riots in the park,
or Tex-Mex music,
or heat, where is that music, by the way? What happened to it?
Well, I figured we'd save it for a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, I only have just the one tape.
That's true. Yeah, we don't want to get repetitious.
No, I don't want to play the whole thing over and over again, but we'll put side two on in another 20 minutes or so.
How's the temperature in there in the nice air-conditioned studio?
I don't know. I don't have an actual meter, but it's...
But you're nice and comfortable, aren't
you? Well, you know, it's fair to middle. And, of course, we have all the doors open to kind of let the cool air, you know, sink into the other rooms.
Well, it's not sinking in over here. It's still 88 degrees in here, but...
That's true. You know, I turned off all the lights in here, you know, just to kind of like make it a little cooler.
Uh-huh. I made a promise not to complain anymore.
Conserve some coolness. I'm not complaining, am I?
I'm not complaining.
I'm explaining how I'm coping under the circumstances.
Let me just say, though, it's very hard to get through an evening without complaining, especially in this heat and humidity. It is. People don't realize
complaining
that.
Complaining about something. Well, you were complaining about your headphones before.
I was complaining about my headphones, but people just don't realize how hard it is to refrain.
That's right.
I wish there would just be a little bit more understanding.
Well, you know, while we're on the complaining kick, during one of those callers, I went back to the library here to see if we could find that Grace Jones nightclubbing album. And it's not there.
Not there, huh? Well, what can you do? Well, there's a lot of Joneses. It might be under some other Jones sometimes.
No, I looked for pretty much all of them.
I didn't know you being gone for 20 minutes. I guess.
Well, you know, that one caller didn't have a radio nearby, so couldn't hear what I was saying anyway. So I figured nobody missed me.
Well, we're going to go to this call, if I can get my words out. 632-6901, area code 516. Brain damage up until midnight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Eric. Regarding the Northport incident.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I only read a little bit about it in the paper, but from what I read, the cop was breaking up a fight. The off-duty policeman saw a kid getting beat up.
Uh-huh.
That makes a little bit of a difference. You were saying earlier, could he have just called the cops and waited? But if someone's getting hit with a baseball bat, they could easily have died. You said, you know, would someone have died? If you get hit in the head with a baseball bat, you know, I wasn't there. I only read a little bit. But I don't think you can blame the cop without knowing the whole real story, what was going on. And supposedly, after he shot someone, from what I read, he was hit again. So these people must have really had something wrong with them to hit
someone. Well, let me just say, if I was in a crowd of people and some guy started shooting and you didn't know who he was, I would vote for hitting him a few times, yes.
I don't think so. I would, like, run the other way if I wasn't drunk.
I agree with you.
Had some kind of substance.
Well, it depends. It depends on the situation. I mean, if you were in danger, if you thought you were going to be shot as you were running, I don't know. There's all kinds of different ways to approach the thing. But what I think it boils down to is, did people know he was a cop? You know, and that's the key question here. If they didn't know, if he did not identify himself, then I think he was very much in the wrong, because you can't expect somebody who comes out of a house to just start shooting.
Eric?
Yeah.
I don't really see
what
that...
Does it make a difference, though, whether they're a cop or not?
Does it make any difference?
In reality, what's the difference whether he's a policeman or not? Should you hit him with a baseball bat?
No, I'm not justifying that, but I'm just saying this guy should not go around shooting people.
But he probably should have, if it would have helped the situation. He should have said, I'm a cop, and...
Yeah, I just don't see how what he did helped the situation. I don't think it... I mean, worst-case scenario, somebody would have gotten a concussion with a baseball bat. That's a horrible thing. I'm not advocating that, but I just don't think shooting into a crowd is going to help matters. And I don't think it helped matters here. One person's dead, three people are wounded. And this guy, his life is pretty much destroyed, I think, because he's got to carry this around with him for, you know, the rest of his life. I just think there's you know, I wasn't there, so I have to stress, I don't know what he did and whether he might have acted completely in the right, properly identified himself, fired a warning shot, but it's just so much harder when somebody doesn't look like a cop to believe them when they say they are. You know, it's especially in situations like that where people are drunk, there's a crowd, mob mentality. You know, that's why it's essential for police to be there to maintain control.
I agree with you, but
I don't think the police
agree.
Should have left. I think the police should have kept the car there. But if there were 60 people brawling in the street, then for the cops to have left is criminal.
No, they had left
also,
before
I
that,
also
though.
Agree with the other caller that for these people to come back to the party with baseball bats, you can't have any sympathy for them. I mean, what was their motive? I mean, what were they thinking about?
Yeah, but I mean, if Timothy Grimes had killed the Howard Beach people because they were coming after him with baseball bats, do you honestly think that argument would hold up? He'd be in jail now. I mean, you know, Bernie Getz may have gotten away with it, but you know, when civilians kill people, it's considered not appropriate. I think the same thing should hold true for off-duty cops because they're civilians at that time.
Yeah, well, Getz wasn't being attacked at all. This guy had been hit with a bat.
Well, there are differences. No question about that. But I just think the situation could have been handled a bit more rationally from my point of view.
Yeah. All right. Just wanted to add my two cents.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Yes, Mike.
Before we go to our next caller, though, I don't know, my own particular feelings. You care what I have to say about this?
Sure.
Okay. I've never really been in a conflict situation like that, and I don't know. Under pressure, I don't know if I'd be able to. I would probably act pretty irrational myself. The closest thing I've ever been to a situation like that, I was working in a security job, many summers ago, and I was, I was on a parking lot detail, kind of like watching people's cars while they were all gone at an Oktoberfest situation, which was in a remote location. So they needed people to just look at the cars and stuff. And these people came back, the most important thing you do, I guess, at an Oktoberfest is you drink beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these folks had, you know, tanked up pretty good, I guess. And there was this one fellow who had was just about ready to beat up the Oompah band, and they evicted him. And then he ended up coming up back to us. And it took a lot of restraint, you know, just to kind of guide him towards his car and away from everybody else's. But I guess I'm just saying is, you know, if you're never in a situation like that, you don't know how you're going to act, especially, you know, dealing with thugs every day in New York City.
Well, yeah, you develop a sort of contempt for them, and I think that does nothing but make the situation worse.
I mean, his blood pressure must have gone up a bazillion points, seeing people brawling on his street. And the cops had already left because there weren't 60 people brawling, apparently, right?
Yeah, but in a situation like that where there's an ongoing party, there's always a chance someone's going to come back. People do come back and start things. I think you had a combination
here. How the cops, you know, you had mentioned before that the cops had taken off, and, you know, why did they take off? Well, obviously they have other things to do, and there are probably other parties going on and stuff like that, and, you know, maybe they figured that the situation was defused by their first appearance, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just everybody makes mistakes on these things, but I think we had a combination, though, of the guy acting like a cop, but also acting as a neighbor that's upset that there's people on his lawn throwing beer bottles. I mean, he had complained about that to the cops,
and
he was told to go back in his house by the cops. He was told to go back in his house, and he really should have done that and not gotten involved. He should have called the police as soon as he saw that they had come back, and so should anyone else in the neighborhood. And then I think that's the only way we could have avoided this.
Yeah, well,
this should not have had to have happened. I don't think this was the right way to resolve the situation for someone to get killed. I never think that way.
Mm. Oh,
and I'll tell you, though, a few years ago, I was involved in an anti-nuclear rally in Washington, D.C. And
there
was about 100,000 people there. And at one point, some of the leaders, not the leaders, but some of the more, I guess, leftist, radical types, got into a confrontation with these Moonies that appeared out of nowhere. They just like came up a hill, and there were all these rightist people. And it was, for a while, it really looked like people were going to, you know, start jumping at each other, and it started getting really violent, or threatening to be really violent. What a few of us did was we simply linked arms to prevent each side from getting to the other side, half of us would talk to one side, half of us would talk to the other side, and we just somehow managed to calm them down enough so that they were able to walk their separate ways.
And now you were all the anti-nuclear protesters who did this?
Yeah, and not one of us had a club even.
Well, that's good.
It's, you know, and these people were worse than drunk, but, I mean, they weren't drunk, they were just irrational.
On both sides.
See, with drunk people, you can sometimes make them believe things that aren't true. With supposedly rational people that are very very set on their ways, it's a lot harder.
Hmm.
Of course, you know, you can't use one way of doing things in all situations. Every situation is different. Every situation is unique.
Who thought that idea up?
It just kind of happened. When you see, the police weren't handling that. That was something that these anti-nuclear people were doing themselves.
Uh-huh.
They were coordinating it. They were responsible. Another thing. Last 2 years ago, 1986, Operation Sail in New York City, with there was a big demonstration, a gay demonstration, in Battery Park,
mm-hmm.
and they were attacked left and right by these people who came out of nowhere, and you know, they just like said, "You're all going to die of AIDS, all that kind of stuff. Get away from us!" And they were physically attacked, but the cops, of course, did nothing. The people who organized the demonstration had to physically restrain people. There was no violence because they were able to keep these people from just, you know, jumping on them and doing things. They were able to restrain them without killing them or hitting them even.
Hmm.
So there are ways of doing it. The Guardian Angels, I don't think they've ever killed anybody.
No.
They don't have guns. They don't need guns. They know how to control a situation before it gets out of hand.
Well, because they're street smart themselves, right?
And I think that's a major part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they've been going through, they've seen both sides, huh?
Yeah, that's many of them have. So anyway, that's my 15 cents on that,
okay.
That topic.
Well, let's see. It's 11:30. Now, are we going to talk about the riots and such in Burma?
Do you want to?
Well, we're talking about riots. We might as well.
Well, tell me what you know.
All I know is that, what's his name, the general or... his name was, or something like that, which is, if that's actually what his name is, kind of a inappropriate name of a leader of a country who was put into office or power, what, 6 weeks ago? General Sain, was that his name?
Eric? Was it 6 weeks ago, or was it only a few days? I don't know. He resigned, though. He's gone.
Yes, he's gone, but they say that could have been like 1,000 people killed in the riots that took place over in Rangoon.
No, I mean, they know how to have riots over there.
Well, I'll tell you. Maybe somebody should be exported. I don't know whether they should export some New Yorkers over there to learn, or well, I don't know.
Oh boy!
But
well,
certainly, 1,000 up to 1,000 people being killed is not very.
Yeah,
very
but you
nice.
See, it's a third world, so we don't really.
We don't care.
It doesn't affect us because it's the third world. People die in mudslides. They die in bus plunges and riots. All this kind of thing. And, you know, it's the third world, so we can just write it off.
Mm.
I don't know why that is, but it's...
it's a whole other hemisphere, I guess.
It's the attitude that that we're brought up with.
Yeah. Mm.
But, anyway, I wanted to get to this Village Voice accounting of the riot in Tompkins Square Park, which is probably the most colorful of all of them.
You have, before you get into that, though, you do have lots and lots of other stuff to do in our last half hour here, right?
Such as?
Well, I thought you had a whole stack of newspaper clippings.
Actually, most of the newspaper clippings are about that very topic.
Oh.
But I'm not going to read all of those.
Oh, I see. I have a clipping here, too.
Uh-huh.
An obituary, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. Now, as far as the special message you had to convey, did you do that?
Oh, yes. He has arrived.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's very important. There was a coded message in one of those phone calls, and we had to convey it to the right person, but... that's done, so we don't have to talk about it anymore.
No, there's really no point in wasting our time about gaining access and other things like that.
Right, so we won't waste our listeners' time.
Forget we even mentioned it, and for that matter.
What's this? Oh, my goodness. You beeped me, didn't you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't me.
Who was that?
Somebody else.
Someone did this. I think it's you, because your line is busy.
No, it's not me. I didn't do it. I wasn't touching it.
Well, your line is busy. Hold on, I'm trying it again. Your line is busy.
Wasn't me.
Well, who is speaking now? You see, Mike, I know how these phones work.
Yeah, well, I can assure you it wasn't me.
Even though that sounds just like you on the phone as well as over the air.
It does sound that way, doesn't it? I didn't do it, I promise.
Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
I just transferred him to a computer, which will deal with him appropriately.
Well, what I did was I took my handset off hook. So this cannot happen again.
Okay, well, let's give out the phone number, Mike, in case anyone is still listening and wants to call.
Let's see, what is the number? It's 516-632-6901.
Do you want to give it out in English now, so those of us who don't know what not means would understand it?
Zero.
No, don't dial zero. You get the operator. Don't do that. Let's give out the phone number.
516-632-6901.
Right. 632-690.1. That's our frequency. And the program is Brain Damage. We're on the air till midnight. Give us a call. Speak your piece. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. Bill Fox.
Hi, Bill Fox. You're screaming, but go ahead.
Oh, no, that's because I'm on the speakerphone. I'm in the office.
Ah, you're in our office.
Yes.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, because I can't get in, so I... No, never mind. I'll tell you later.
Well, what is it with access tonight? Okay, go ahead.
Was he the one who was beeping me?
No, I just can't... I want to tell you, I just came back from the powwow I told you about.
Uh-huh.
And we're having a really great time down there.
Why don't you tell the folks all about it?
Okay, well, it's the 8th annual... the technical name is the 8th annual Pomanoke Powwow and Native American Living Arts Festival. And can you hear me still?
I can hear you fine.
Eric?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. And basically it's a it's powwow, it's an Indian gathering. I have an interesting interview with the chair of the powwow I'll put together, either try to send it to Crossroads or using it with our news, telling, you know, what it's all about. And basically you go there and you just have a ball, you know?
Now, how long is it going on for?
It's today and tomorrow. Tomorrow it starts about 10. Imagine it should run until about... It's probably scheduled to end about 3 o'clock, but should run then about 6 o'clock. Because people just have too good of a time, and so, you know, they just hang out for, like, hours and hours.
And how do folks get down there?
Well, I think the best way to get down there is take 110, if you can find your way to 110. Take it all the way down to Merrick Road, which is also Montauk Highway.
Route 27A, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You make a left, that would mean you're heading eastward, until you get to a small road called Wilson Road. You just go down there about half a mile, and there's Tanner Park, and it's right there.
Okay, well, thanks very much for conveying that to us.
Yeah, if I can get into the... If I can get in there, hint, hint, I can...
We'll work on it. We'll work on it. This building's like a castle. I know. You can't get from one part to the other. Okay, we'll tear down a wall and get you in here somehow.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 632-6901. That's our telephone number.
Yeah.
And, yes, there are powwows on Long Island. I mean, there's an Indian reservation on Long Island. I think that's incredible.
That's the Shinnecock Reservation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But that's not where he was.
Where was he?
I don't think he was there. He was down way down on Route 110 someplace.
No. Route 110 is how you get to Merrick Road.
Yeah, but Shinnecock's like down at the east end of the island, and 110 is west of here.
Yeah, but he was using it as a way to get down to Merrick Road, which is probably the way he's familiar with, I would think.
Well, why wouldn't you just go down Nichols Road?
Well, I guess you would if you were out here.
Well, isn't he?
Well, now he is, but he's not usually.
Oh.
I don't know, it can be confusing, but...
I'm not a Long Islander anymore. I guess I shouldn't. I don't have any right to ask all these questions.
It started before midnight. I'm reading the article now because I do want to read
it. Okay.
It started before midnight with a ragged little rally directed at the park faithful, the unlucky, the unruly, you're tired, you're poor. Near the entrance at 8th Avenue, I'm sorry, 8th Street and Avenue A, a plump, balding man in tie-dye exhorted about 100 punks, politicos, and curious neighbors through a tinny speaker system. Yuppies and real estate magnates have declared war on the people of Tompkins Square Park. Flyers from the Emergency Coalition Against Martial Law covered a card table nearby, and a young man in black clothing and beret waved a black flag stapled to a cardboard tube. The cops were going to shut the park down, as they had every night that week. I overheard some talk in the crowd from neighbors who thought it should be shut. The crime here, the noise, some guy explained to a companion. The grim cops at the gate... The chance of die, yuppie scum, the M-80s exploding deeper in the park, all added to the aura of latent violence. Even so, who could have predicted the police riot to come within the hour, complete with cavalry charges down East Village streets, a chopper circling overhead, people out for a Sunday paper running in terror down First Avenue, running from the cops who clearly regarded any civilian as a target. At midnight in Tompkins Square, the motley demonstrators had begun trooping defiantly around the paths with their class war banners, returning on each swing past the officers lined up along the band shell. Most nights the band shell is filled with homeless, but they'd been hoovered out to God knows where that morning. Now it was police headquarters, focal point for 12 vehicles, including vans, 11 horses, and the long blue line. One police officer shone his flashlight into the lens of every photographer who tried to get a picture, foreshadowing the more aggressive camera shyness to come. Protesters marched by, chanting that, hell no, they wouldn't go. But they did go, of course, as soon as the mounted cops pranced out to Avenue A. It was 12:30 Saturday night, a peak traffic hour on the avenue between Alcatraz, the Wawa Hut, 7A, and the Pyramid, when, as a rule, the skinheads and spiky heads hang out at curbside. Neighbors go to and froing, and the peddlers set their tattered goods out along the park. But on this night, people were lining the park between 7th and 8th as if waiting for a parade. I could see some protesters pushing on a squad car, jerking it a couple of yards closer to 7th. I could see the mounted cops in the line near 7th and the rally leaders in the middle of the street at 8th, black flag and card table stuffed in a grocery cart. Fists in the air, they yelled, "It's our effing park," as another M80 exploded at someone's feet along the sidewalk. Suddenly, the cops had their riot helmets on and clubs out. Someone in front of a bar threw a bottle toward the mounted police massed at 7th Street, and the cops backed up. Protesters and onlookers milled around the avenue while a long line of honking cars tried to make the turn off 8th. Protesters yelled yuppie scum at bewildered drivers. Three Hell's Angels drew cheers. Another bottle smashed on the pavement, and another. The mounted police backed up again. The foot patrolmen stood shoulder to shoulder at the park entrance. It was 12:50. Metal gates began to slam closed over the storefronts. Punks were jumping the fence, urging the crowd to follow. But apart from them, it was no longer clear who was protesting and who'd inadvertently walked into this mess or come outside to see what the hell was going on. By now, the crowd numbered in the hundreds. About 12:55, I heard an explosion, and the mounted police suddenly charged up Avenue A, scattering the knot of demonstrators still in the car. I'm sorry, still in the street. I ducked behind a car. The policemen were radiating hysteria. One galloped up to a taxi, stopped at the traffic light, and screamed, "Get the F out of here, F face." I walked toward 9th Street, unsure where to go. "Calm your men," yelled a pedestrian near me. At 9th Street, foot patrolmen in riot gear formed a line along the drive into the park. Across the avenue, some young men stood on the south corner screaming drunken taunts. I was on the north corner at a phone booth. I recognized two of the patrolmen, despite their helmets, as the two I'd spoken to just 45 minutes earlier. Then they told me courteously that they couldn't say why the park was being closed. Now they were charging me with their clubs raised. They couldn't be charging me. I just stood there because I was the press, and I was wearing my credentials, and I hadn't done anything, and this was my neighborhood, and this was the phone I used to call my friend over there who doesn't have a buzzer. "Run, run," screamed a tall young black man taking me by the arm. "We gotta get out of here." And I felt a billy club across my shoulder blades, the cop pushing me, cop pumping adrenaline, cop yelling, "Move, move, move." They were sweeping 9th Street, and it didn't matter if you were press or walking home from the movies or sitting on your stoop to catch a breeze. You were going to move. At First Avenue, I watched two cops on horseback gallop up on the sidewalk and grab a guy by his long hair, pulling him across the street between them. Minutes later, the same guy was down on the sidewalk in front of Strombolli's, bleeding. The cops seemed bizarrely out of control, levitating with some hatred I didn't understand. They'd taken a relatively small protest and fanned it out over the neighborhood, inflaming hundreds of people who'd never gone near the park to begin with. They called in a chopper, and they would eventually call 450 officers. By 1:30, I'd taken all the notes I wanted to take. I wanted to go home. So I walked back to Avenue A, where I was soon trapped, as were many others. "Can I cross the street?" I asked a policeman at the corner of 7th, showing him my orange press card. "If you do, you're going to get roughed up," he declared. "If you do that, you're going to get some publicity you aren't going to like," I spouted back. "Hey," he said, "you're trying to stereotype me." It had been a big night for absurdities. Getting back to First Avenue took another half hour. And there, dancing around their grocery cart in the middle of traffic, were the so-called leaders, bandanas pulled up over their noses so the police couldn't identify them. God, this was going to take all night. I walked south, then I heard screams. Cop attack. Panic-stricken pedestrians ran down the sidewalks as the cops galloped, clubs at the ready. I tried to duck into a restaurant. No, shrieked someone at the door, slamming it in my face. I kept running. The next day I walked up to Tompkins Square. It's a foul little park and a symbolic one. I've lived near it for 11.5 years and have yet to experience a moment of tranquility in its crummy confines. But I can tell you that the people who go there are, for the most part, the people who've always gone there. The old Ukrainian guys who play chess, and the old ladies who go to sit down, and the squatter kids, drag queens, rastas, and junkies. As the neighborhood slowly, inexorably gentrifies, that is, the park is a holdout, the place for one last metaphorical stand. At the empty band shell on Sunday, I noticed some posters pasted up by the political comic book World War III and the Rainbow Soup Kitchen weeks before this curfew dispute began. The posters featured a quote from a former resident of the neighborhood. The uneasy spring of 1988, under the pretext of drug control, suppressive police states have been set up throughout the Western world. William S. Burroughs, The Wild Boys, 1969. And that was an article written by C. Carr. Certainly gets it out in a way no other newspaper was able to. Although, if you read any of the newspapers in this last week, you certainly would have seen some fascinating accounts, some fascinating pictures.
Unless, of course, you were from Philadelphia.
I'm surprised you didn't hear anything about this down in Philadelphia.
I don't know,
this,
Eric.
This
I
sound like something I was reading from the 1960s, but this happened a week ago, almost exactly a week ago.
No, I can't, fleeting mention of it, I think, and... No, I didn't. I didn't realize. Certainly, it was widespread and intense as it was.
And I certainly hope that all is calm down there now. Last night it was calm, but it was very tense because of the craziness of blocking off the entire village. And I'm not a judge of distances, but they blocked an incredible amount of area. Preventing cars and pedestrians from getting down there just so that nobody would go near the park.
And residents as well, huh?
Residents as well. This is Washington Square Park, not Tompkins Square, which I believe is now open at night. Some small victory there, although this really wasn't a case of something, some kind of a battle. Just staying in a park at night doesn't seem like that, you know, that's kind of a battle to win. It seems like a kind of thing that you expect to be able to just do, but things are strange.
Yeah, you would expect to come and go as you please in a public area.
So that's pretty much all I have to say on the matter, unless something else happens tonight or next week.
Well, I'm sure your listeners will be more than happy to tune in next week to see what the latest developments are.
And we don't have much time. If anyone wants to call up and give their comments, final comments on all this,
what do you have, about 12 minutes here?
Something
left.
Like that, yeah. Even less if we play the outro. 632-6901, area code 516.
This obit I have in front of me mentions that Anne Ramsey has died.
And tell us who Anne Ramsey is.
She was the mama in The Throw Mama from the Train.
Well, that's sad, because I really liked that character. I thought she did a very
good
job.
I take it you saw the movie then, eh?
Yes, I did.
No, I didn't see it. My wife told me she had seen the movie. I think she rented it, in fact. She didn't even crack a smile once. Now, is that a typical response?
Well, now, you see, it's different. When you rent a film and when you go out and see a film,
huh?
A lot of times, you know, if you're with a good audience that's into the film, you're just a lot more into it. I saw Star Wars when it came out, the day it came out, and it's just so much better than when you see it at a 99-cent theater or at one of these, you know, mega quadruplexes or whatever.
Or if you rent it.
Where only about three people show up. Or if you rent it, where you're the only one watching it.
Well, I tell you, it was very disconcerting for me when we were watching A Fish Called Wanda the other day. The people behind us were commenting on every little scene.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know, I suppose if I had a baseball bat in my hand, I would have turned around to them and bashed some heads in. Oh, it's annoying.
Off-duty cop anywhere in the theater, you wouldn't have been here tonight. That's
that's
one thing I could guarantee.
No, I don't particularly care for going to movies because the video mentality that we now live in, this age where everybody's accustomed to watching motion pictures in the privacy of their living rooms and making any comment as they please and not hurting anybody, it certainly spreads into public places and people don't realize. That's my personal
pet peeve. I mean, I don't even like it when I'm watching videos and people have running commentaries going on. I mean, if you're going to see something for the first time, you know, you should pay attention to what you're seeing. And
I agree, yes.
Have to keep backspacing over the parts that people talk over.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's
they don't get the hint when you have the remote control fixed in your hand, huh?
No.
And you keep going back and back and then...
The tape wears out.
Well, if it's
falls apart.
If it's a rental film, then, you know...
That's true.
That's not your problem,
don't
then.
Don't have to worry about it,
it's
then.
Your video software dealer's problem.
Well, I don't think we're going to get any more calls. I think everyone's gone to sleep. But, Mike, do you want to plead for calls? And then, you know, we'll see if you still have the touch. Because,
let me
just tell you, when Mike pleads for calls, for some reason, every line in the whole studio lights up.
You know, remember that did happen that one time?
You got a bingo. And, Mike, you're only going to be here for another 10 minutes?
Remember?
You're going back to Philadelphia. If you can get a bingo here.
That's right.
What should I do if
we
get a bingo?
You'll go on into the Brothers for an hour.
No. I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a big, like, refreshing drink at the convenience store, which name I can't mention.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, then let's...
I'm sure
that's not going
to
happen. But
if Mike is able to light up all the lines and get people to call, and we won't even be able to put them all on the air because we're running out of time here, but
I get
if he's able to do that...
From a convenience store.
Now, if he's not able to do that, well, I guess we'll just make this a one-way deal.
Yes, I...
That way there's no unpleasantness. Go ahead and start.
Okay,
begging.
Now listen. You folks here... I very rarely come to this area and would like you to call and make me feel welcome. Now, isn't that smug of me? Eric, I don't know what to say. I don't frankly care.
Well, you have zero calls so far, Mike, so I suggest you pitch a little harder. You're going to make a fool of yourself.
There's one.
Okay, we got four more to go.
Thank you, Mom.
We tie up all the lines. Okay, your mother's calling now. Let's see if you can get your father to pick up the other extension.
Well, that would only allow one phone line to ring here. So.
Oh, okay, then I'll go next door.
Now we got two.
Okay, we're up to two now. We only need three more, and Mike will be able to quench his thirst at my expense. So if you don't like me, it's one way to...
No, wait a minute.
Get back
that one hung up, so we actually... This is a third one who's calling.
No, they have to be five at a time.
At a time. So when you call, please don't hang up. Okay, we've got two calls, three calls.
Okay, we're up
we've
to
got
three.
Three calls
we're up
here
to
now.
Three here.
Okay, now we're not asking for money.
We're not asking for anything. Just make our phone ring.
And since we're not going to answer, you're not even going to be charged for the call. So please prove...
Oh, we had one person hang up. We're down to two. You lost somebody with that logic.
I guess I did.
632-6901. And please let... Please be different people. If you have like a multi-line phone somewhere in an office or at a home, because that's cheating, and that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for five separate people all across the island here to call up.
We have three again.
We have three. We only need two more.
You can be from another state, in fact. Ah.
Okay, we're up to four. One more phone call, and Mike will be able to wet his appetite on.
Quench my thirst, please.
Refreshing drink,
please. Okay, those folks that are still on the line, please keep ringing. We need a couple more people. One more person.
All
just
we need
one
more person. 632-6901.
Okay, if you are in Sayville, pick up your phone, call 632-6901.
Well, now you're segregating people.
If you are in Coram, please pick up your phone and call 632-6901.
It's always hard to get that last light to light up, you know? It's always difficult to get that last one.
Yes, all we need is just one more call. Please
one
call.
More. And those of you who are ringing the phone now, please stay on, because if you hang up, you got it. You did it.
Can we?
Of course, you had a lot of help from me too.
That's true. Can we get a few more of these numbers to light up too?
No, they're all hanging up now.
Okay.
If
well, thanks
to be
for
on
calling.
The air. Stay on.
Stay on.
If you don't want to be on the air, hang up now. There's only one person left. Only one person left.
Boy.
So should we put them on the air?
Nah.
I guess. Yeah, the joke's on you. Let's see who they are. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's my mom.
It's your mother. Well,
bye. Bye, Mom. See, I told you she
Mike
was going
to call. Mike got some embarrassment out of this.
Oh, yes.
That's
thanks,
great.
Mom.
That's great.
Thanks to you, I'm going to have my thirst quenched.
Bill Fox is in the sauna.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise known as our news booth.
And also thanks to Bill for not calling and...
Well, I had called before, actually.
Yes, we know. It would have been cheating if you called from here when we had the pledge drive or whatever that was.
I didn't think that would be...
A pledge drive? Hey, wait a minute. We have somebody calling, Eric.
Okay, let's go to them.
Oh, okay.
Bill, you and me, and they hung up. Mike, what kind of soda will you be wanting?
You know, one of those Gatorade things sounds pretty good.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, do you know what
that.
They do at that convenience store whose name we won't mention? Is that they have separate cherry syrup if you want to make a cherry cola or, you know, like a cherry...
How do you do that? Where do you get it?
You know, at the convenience store with...
Yeah, but where do you get the cherry syrup?
Over by the big machine. You know, the big machine where the huge cups are.
Well, you have to buy the cups first now for some reason. But
well, that's because they're terribly cheap. You know, it's like miser time.
I went into one of those convenience stores. I'm not going to mention the name
now,
of it.
Now, wait a minute.
And I said, look, I just need water because my car, like, needs water. Okay? So can I please put water in a cup? They said, you have to pay for a soda because you're paying for the cup. You're not paying for the soda. You're paying for the cup. So if you get a cup, you got
to
pay the price of the cup.
Then what's
the price of the soda?
They're all
there. That's exactly what I said. What's to stop me from keeping the cup, going in there time after time with my own little cup and filling it up? I think I can do that. I don't think there's anything against
it. I can imagine. I think they'd be a little perturbed.
Now, are these...
It's their logic that I'm following.
Yeah,
Eric,
I realize
I have a question.
That, but you don't want to fight people with their own logic because then they not only get... Like irrational,
they break out the
erratic. They break out the baseball bat.
Eric, I have a question for you though. Now, these cups that you buy from this convenience store, whose name you will not mention,
right?
Not that we can't really figure it out who it is anyway.
Well, if we expend a lot of energy thinking about it, but I don't think we're going to do that.
No, I guess the.
What is your point?
Well, don't they kind of like waterlog after a while?
Oh, yeah.
Don't what waterlog?
The cups that you use,
cup,
you use
sure.
them a bunch of times.
Haven't you ever used them more than once? And I think, you know, okay.
See, it's
society. This is pet peeve time, all right?
Okay.
I was in a fast food establishment today whose name I also won't mention.
Uh-huh.
Although he rides a horse. I'll say that.
let's hope old Trigger's not ground up and...
I wasn't supposed to say that. Now then.
Okay.
I wanted a refill on my Coke. Whoops, I can't say that either. No, on my whatever black stuff they give you in a cup. It's not coffee.
A cola.
Yeah, a cola, a leading brand cola. Okay? I was very thirsty, so I wanted two of them. So I said, excuse me, fair maiden behind the desk here.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Did you really, you know, delve into her sex life?
No, I didn't.
To know that she was a fair maiden?
All I said was, can I have a refill of this? Okay? I mean, it would have been nice if I could have gotten a discount on the price, right? Because, you know, you pay for the cup. Obviously, the cup costs something, and I'd be providing my own ice, too. So, it would have been nice to do that. But no, they couldn't even refill the cup. I had to throw that cup out and get a new cup. Now, in this day of wasting things, that's the most stupid thing I can think of. Throwing away a cup and getting a new one for
okay.
the same person.
Now, I have a couple of things to say about this.
Okay, go right
Mr.
ahead.
Mr. Fox will let me.
Please.
There are... I don't know about around here too much, because like I say, I don't live around here anymore, but down around in Philadelphia and some other areas I've been to recently, you can go into one of these fast food places, and I don't know if it's necessarily the same one that you're thinking of, where the guy rides a horse, but they say refills are free. And there's others, if I may also go so far as to say, that it's a character on a, say, a playing card, but I'm not going to say who it is, that... have little soft drink bars that you can go back and get more for your as long as you have a cup, and they don't care. So
well, that's
yeah,
why it
I
should
found...
be because it costs like 2 cents to make one of those damn things.
Well,
go ahead,
Bill. Right by us, the place with the crown, whose name we won't mention, also had that, and that's right by us.
The place with the crown.
Place with the crown.
But is he a member of a royal family?
I wouldn't know, but I won't delve into.
I heard he's a pony.
Oh yeah. Anyway, but I'll tell you what, these cups do get waterlogged, I know, because I had coffee the other day. Somebody got my coffee for me, and I was late for it. I was sitting out there, I had gotten an iced coffee and a buttered roll. I got back, and, you know, like, the cup was all, like, mushy. You know?
Well, now, wait a minute. Now,
it was
I think
one
that's
of those
a,
wax
that's a,
cups,
that's
know?
A function of humidity, too. So not only,
oh, that's true,
not
too.
Only
yeah.
do you have the wetness from the inside working its way out, but you have it sweating since you said you got iced coffee. Now, if you had been a normal person
true.
And gotten regular coffee, it wouldn't have sweat. And you
yeah.
have all this moisture osmosing in from the outside as well. So...
Well, you know,
I think you brought that
degrees.
One on yourself.
Yeah, well,
think?
If it's 90 degrees, I'm not going to get a hot coffee.
I think Bill
I mean,
was saying is if you ask for trouble, you're going to get it.
Yes.
I think that's the theme of this whole show.
That's, yeah,
that's
right.
What one of our callers
no,
said,
I'm,
don't go
I'm
looking
just...
for trouble because trouble will find you, deaf,
yeah.
dumb, and blind you.
Yeah. At least nobody came after we with the, you know, baseball
bat.
Yeah.
No.
Don't push it, Bill. Don't push it.
Why?
Who, me?
Because it's too hot.
I don't know who that was, but I agree with him. It's too hot around here.
Too darn hot.
Yeah.
Speaking about too darn hot, that's a song that Mark Stern played today.
I think everyone's playing this song. Yeah. It's
too darn hot.
Yeah, I don't know why people just sort of like to hear this song now. I couldn't have anything to do with the lyrics, I don't think.
But I think the interesting thing was that it was actually a Mark Stern on the air today.
Oh yeah, Mark Stern is back in town.
Oh yeah.
And so is Mike Juhas. I mean, it's incredible.
Oh yeah, but just for a short time, like only about a minute left.
Yeah.
And then it'll be tomorrow, and I will disappear into the woodwork.
Disappear.
Do you think I should come back again sometime?
I think so.
Oh, I don't know if our listeners think so. Maybe they were calling up just to like.
Well, do you think we have in the next 20 seconds if they can call up and light the phone lines up? I can come back again.
I don't think that's fair to ask them to go through that again. I mean, it's very strenuous to get up and dial a phone in this kind of weather.
Come on, Mom.
Oh.
All right.
Oh,
thank you,
there
Mom.
It is. What?